One encounter with God will change your life. Father, I pray every person this morning would just sense your presence, know that you're for them, that you're not against them. Lord, I pray right this morning that they would know your peace as I pray. And Lord, as I talk about your grace, Father, Lord, I pray each of us would have a revelation of your grace. Lord, not only your grace for us, but Lord, I pray you would increase our grace for others. Grace is a gift. Father, I pray that we would have that gift on our life, the gift of walking with grace and mercy. Holy Spirit, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I just want to talk about grace. And not just the grace of God that goes this way, but grace that goes this way. You know, I think in the last few years, there's been possibly a lot more friction in relationships and friendships than there's ever been. Long-term friendships have fallen apart. People have come quite disfranchised with church. And, you know, there's just been a lot of conflict. Certainly a lot of conflict out in the world. A lot of grating. A lot of things are said, aren't they? You know, things are said against people or things are said. All sorts of things are said and it just creates, I suppose, a grating and a grinding. You know, it can happen in your marriage. You know, it can just, and sometimes you don't even sort of see it coming. Suddenly you just feel like, man, these relationships are grinding. And, you know, it seems like sometimes every little thing that happens gets under your skin. Anybody experience that? A lot of guys were scared to put their hand up then, weren't they? You know, the biblical definition of the grace is unmerited favor, kindness, and love shown to us by God, despite our unworthiness and our sinfulness. In other words, grace is a free gift given to us by God that we do not deserve and that we cannot earn through our own efforts. I love God's grace. It's probably one of the most amazing things beyond my understanding. You know, the word grace is mentioned lots of times in the Bible, and it's often sort of termed unmerited favor. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not because of your works, so that no one can boast." You know, grace is closely related to mercy, which is God's compassion and forgiveness towards us despite our sinfulness. But both grace and mercy are gifts that God freely offers to us, and they are essential for salvation and for our relationship with God. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a drink. You know, when I talk about grace, I think for myself personally, it blows me away how much grace God has for us. And, you know, the more you live life, the more you're aware you are of how much you need God's grace. You know, it blows me away. I was saying out at Coast the other day, if I was God and I knew me, which I do know me, but God does know me, but just to, so let's do this illustration really nicely, actually. Alan A Alan, and B Alan. If A Alan knows all about B Alan, I wouldn't let B Alan do all the things that God lets him do. I certainly wouldn't think that he should be out there preaching, because I know all the things. All the things he said, all the things he's done, all what's gone in his head. He wouldn't be up here preaching, that's for sure. He'd be sitting down there learning a good lesson. But that's the grace of God. That despite all my inadequacies and all my mistakes and and all even my sin, God's grace as he continues to use us. It's a phenomenal thing. I'm here by the grace of God. I think we understand that and we get a real good glimpse of that. But what we then have real trouble with is having grace for other people. Man, we struggle having grace for other people. You know, one of the probably the two of the hardest things to navigate in church is internal relationships. I don't know, relationships where things great. And I don't know whether church, but it's not just church, it's work, it's school, it's family, all these places where there's relationship generate a little bit of friction, don't they? Internal conflict. It's such a big thing. Relational conflict. I don't think there'd be a person in the room that hasn't had an argument with somebody. Actually, put your hand up if you have had an argument with somebody at some stage and had a bit of conflict. Okay, put it down. The other challenge that we've got in church is navigating and dealing with sin in people's lives. And I always find that a hard thing because I think who am I to point out anybody else's sin? You know, we'll all stand before God on the day of judgment. And you know what I'm so thankful about? Is that when I stand there and all these things about my life are there, I know they're there, Jesus is going to stand forward and say, I've paid for that. We don't even need to talk about that. Oh, doesn't that make you feel good? Whew. You know, one of the things I love about Jesus and I've noticed about him is that while he was on earth, he tended towards grace and mercy far more than he tended towards judgment. The only people that I think he judged really hard were the religious people who should have known better. But outside of that, he just gave grace to everybody. And one of my challenges is that I feel that we need to give people more grace. We need to give people more grace. A few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a person who's been in the church for a long time, and we were just talking through, and they'd been involved in an experience that had happened about 4 or 5 years ago that had happened with church leadership, and I think we got it wrong, and some other people got it wrong. We were just talking through that, and they had an amazing bit of humility as we talked it through. And an amazing attitude. And as we were talking, I said, you know, the thing about church is that church runs on the oil of grace we continue to give each other. Church only runs on the oil of grace that we continue to give each other. Marriage only works on the oil of grace that you continue to give. You know, too often we say the wrong thing. How many people are in the boat where they often say the wrong thing? If only I could just keep silent, life would be far better, wouldn't it? My wife's not here, so. We jump to the wrong conclusions. How many people have jumped to the wrong conclusions? Oh my goodness. Oh, I hate that. We assess things and we make this, oh, they shouldn't have done that, without knowing all that they're involved in. We misunderstand people's motives. My dad always told me, don't try and judge people's motives because you've got no idea what someone's motive is. But we judge, don't we? Grace is to the church what oil is to an engine. Let me read you this. An engine is made up of many moving parts that work together to produce power and motion. Without oil, these parts would quickly grind against each other and wear out, leading to damage and eventually failure. Our lives are made up of many moving parts. Without grace, we too would grind against each other and eventually break each other down. Romans 3:23 says, "For we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." We've all got to keep remembering that we're not that good ourselves. And while we remember that, and we remember the grace God's given us, then I think it's easier to give grace to everybody around us. But when you forget, when you become arrogant and think, man, I'm really good in this area, I'm really got it together, I think that's when you find it harder to give people grace. We receive God's grace. It lubricates our lives. It's smoothing out the rough edges, enabling us to function as God intended. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Grace is not something you can earn. You see, when we have relationships with people, we sometimes think that they've got to earn their grace. No, I should freely give grace. But we think, no, they need to pay so that they get grace. No. They can never pay. Grace is just freely given. Freely given. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle." Man, that's a good bit of advice. Are you humble? Are you gentle? Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We've got to keep humble. We've got to be patient with each other. Loving one another. Our relationships will thrive when there's grace. Without grace, we'll constantly be grinding each other, experiencing friction and conflict in our relationships, and struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness. But when we extend grace to one another, it lubricates our relationships, smoothing out the rough edges and enabling us to function as a body. In Colossians 3:12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people," you are God's chosen people, "holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, that's really easy in here, isn't it? It's quite easy, the nice music. You go, yeah, I can feel that. Is it the same at home? Same at work? Same at school? Clothe yourself with compassion. I do think compassion is one of the things that we've lost a little bit of. How compassionate are you? When's the last time you got moved by something? Kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So why do we struggle to give grace? I wrote down a few things here. Here's the first one. I think pride. Pride can make it difficult to extend grace to others, as it can cause us to view ourselves as better than others and resist showing mercy and forgiveness. We don't like to think that we got pride. I don't think I've ever said to anybody, "Oh, you're full of pride." Wouldn't go down well, would it? Should we try it? No. Pride. But when you've got pride, you find it hard to give grace. You find it way easier to judge people when you're full of pride. If you find yourself judging people all the time, saying all these things about people, take a look in the mirror. Why do we find it hard? Is sometimes we've been hurt and we're bitter. When we've been hurt and wronged by others, it can be difficult to extend grace to them. Bitterness and resentment can make it hard to let go of our anger and our compassion. You know, when you've got anger in a relationship, that's because you want them to pay, because you feel that they've done you an injustice. So anger, when you, if you're getting angry about anything, that's an indication for you to go, oh, I'm trying to pay somebody. I'm trying to get somebody. We freely receive the grace of God. That means that we don't have to pay for our sin. We don't get to pay, which is just an amazing miracle. But how we would like everybody else to pay for the horrible thing they might have done. But grace is letting go of that anger and that bitterness and saying, you don't have to pay. Honestly, I don't think you can do it unless you've got the grace of God working in your life. You need the Holy Spirit working in you to enable you to do that, because that's, I was going to say, that's not natural, is it? We want people to pay for their consequences. If they've done something to us, they need to pay for what they've done. But grace is that I let it go. And say, God, I just let this go. I'm not going to hold on to this. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Did you know that when you let bitterness come into you, you start to affect the people around you? Who likes being in a room with someone who's bitter? Oh, no one. You can feel it, can't you? You can feel it when people are angry and they've got an anger. And we've got to go, is that me? You know, it's fine to be able to see it in other people. In fact, we're all good at seeing what everybody else needs to do, but can we see it in ourselves? Third thing is fear. Sometimes we don't have grace because we have a fear. We have a fear of being hurt again and fear of what others may think of us. We may worry that showing forgiveness and compassion will make us appear weak and vulnerable. But I think it's way harder, and you need to be way more stronger to be able to forgive and let go than it is to hold on. Anybody can hold on, say all those horrible things. But when you got grace, you just let it go. Another reason I don't think we extend grace is that we have a misunderstanding of grace. Some people may not fully understand that grace, how grace works, really. They may view it as a license to sin and believe that excuses and use it as an excuse for wrongdoing. And, you know, that is the fear. That is the fear that we have. If I let someone go, who is going to keep them accountable? How will they learn that they shouldn't do that? Who's going to deal with that person? Well, here's how I see it. This is how I see it. If I continue to be angry and try and deal to that person, God goes, I'm going to have nothing to do with it. You're trying to put the punishment in place. But if I step back and go, I forgive them and let them go, now they are accountable to God. And God's a just God. God has a principle, you reap what you sow. And I've found when I let it go, God deals with that person. Now, maybe he has complete grace and we don't see everything. Does everybody see everything in your life? No, they don't. And maybe God gives them grace, but maybe also some of the things in their life start to happen. And in a sense, we've just got to let it go and let God. And I am convinced God is probably one of the, he is. He's the best one at looking after a person. And life has its ways. You know, you don't get away with stuff. You think you get away with it with someone. No, life has its way of coming around, doesn't it? You reap what you sow. So let it go. Let it go. Oh, we could sing that song. Let it go, let it go. Anyhow, moving right along. Legalism. Sometimes we don't extend grace because of legalism. What's that? Legalism, or a strict adherence to religious rules and regulations, can make it hard to extend grace to others. It can cause us to judge others harshly and hold them to impossible standards. And this is what got Jesus mad with the disciples, because they became legalistic. Whereas Jesus understood. And I just go, you know, we've just got to watch that we don't judge out of our legalism. Just because you go, I've got this all sussed, doesn't mean you need to put that weight and that burden on everybody else. That's the grace of God. You and I walk in the grace of God. One of those scriptures that always gets me is, because I think, you know, sometimes we can become a view that we're doing pretty good. But the scripture that gets me is, he who knows the good he should do and doesn't do it, sins. Like, so that is a sin of omission. Have you done everything God's prompted you to do this week? But we live in grace. We've got this tension going, this tension of, I want to do better for God, but I also know that I'm not perfect. And we live in this tension of the two. And it's the grace of God. And we live in a zone where we go, I'm going to be someone who gives grace to others. Overcoming these obstacles requires a willingness to let go of pride, fear, bitterness, and to cultivate empathy and compassion and understanding. It always also requires a deep understanding of what grace is and how much grace we've received from God. And there's lots of Bible stories, and I haven't got time to go into them, but the prodigal son, the father just shows amazing grace. And we love that story, don't we? Because we love it because we think, oh, I'm the prodigal. But what if you're the father? Are you the one that can extend grace with open arms? We love the story of the woman caught in adultery. Oh, that was amazing. Jesus came and grace was put through. The Samaritan woman at the well. You know, there was an amazing amount of grace that Jesus had for that woman. Can you give grace? Part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is that I do feel that God is starting to move in a sense that lots of people are going to get saved. And they're going to come in here different. And can you extend grace to them? Are you someone that can extend grace to anyone without forming judgment? I always remember when we were in Hawera back in, it's a good 40 years ago, there's a guy got saved in the church. Mum and Dad were looking after the church. Guy got saved. His name was Bert. Bert got radically saved. Bert was a farmer. He had racehorses. He was into racehorses. He was in the Masonic Lodge. He was full on living, and he got radically saved. He got to know God. And so, you know, he got saved, so he just got a new horse, so he called the horse, I think it was Set Free, or Born Again, one or the other. That's cool. I remember Dad saying that every time the horse won, the tithes went way up, which is good. I think he was praying that the horse would win. I don't know whether that's allowed. But Dad never said anything. The church leadership never said anything to him about, mate, you shouldn't be in the racing, and all that gambling, that's causing people to go wrong. They knew he was in the Masonic Lodge. He was actually quite high up in it. No one ever went to him, mate, you need to get out of there. That's evil. They just loved him and did life with him. Yeah. And I remember Dad saying about 18 months in, Bert came along and goes, oh, man, I don't think I should really be in the racehorsing industry. There's a lot of gambling. It's just not the area I want to be. I actually feel God's saying for me to move out of that. Now, here's the thing, though. Bert had talked to everybody he'd ever met at the racing about what God had done in his life. And that's a good thing. He was, wow. But God had worked on him. The thing was, dad could trust the Holy Spirit working in a person's life. Can you trust the Holy Spirit working in someone's life? You know, the best thing that you can do if you're in a relationship where things have got friction is to start praying for that person and let God work into their life. I think he also then came, you know, 2 years later, I don't think the Masonic Lodge is the right place for me. I need to get out. They're doing some weird things. And he just left himself. Didn't have somebody, what I'd call God's little policeman. Don't be God's little policeman. He doesn't need a policeman. Just let the Holy Spirit work on people's lives. Let me pray. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would work in us. Number one, Father, I pray you'd help us to just look at our own life. And if we've been sitting in judgment, if we've been not extending grace, Father, Lord, I pray you'd just speak to us. Maybe God's just highlighting a situation you're involved in at the moment. Why don't you just say, God, I need your grace here. Lord, help me to have grace for this person. Maybe it's the other way around and you feel that this person is judging you and you need their grace. Why don't you just say, God, I pray you just help them to have grace for me. Help me to be able to respond in the right way, not make it any worse. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to be people that are patient and loving and full of grace and mercy to the people around us. Thank you, Jesus.